Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich, and your phone calls here today on New Life. Glad you're with us.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two friends and colleagues, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
If you don't know who they are, well, Mylon has written a book, How We Love, which I wrote the foreword to. And in that book, I said, if you don't like this book, I will give you your money back, not them. And I haven't had to give anybody's money back.
One.
I think there was one guy. He did ask for it. But I said no. And then Dr. Dave Stoop, he's written Forgiving the Unforgivable, the new release, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, has just been re-released, updated, revised, and finally the truth comes out. So you can get those and other resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and newlife.com.
Well, before we go any further with our Flashback Friday program, I want to talk with Larry a little bit. Larry, you know, one of the great privileges of starting New Life has been bringing talent to the forefront. I mean, having John Towns and Henry Cloud on the program, amazing. But I got to tell you, you know, Dave Stoop and all that he has done in the area of Christian recovery, what he and his wife have done for marriages, and then Mylon and Kay, I mean, they've literally revolutionized marriages.
Yeah.
And people are, we know this, even in our own system, they're practicing or they're providing counseling in a totally different way now that Mylon Kay and How We Love has really become something powerful. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to find the new talent that's coming up. We want to be able to put them on the air, folks younger than Chris Williams and Alice Benton, and the only way we can do it is with support. And we've got a matching gift. It's really kind of, I look at it, it's matching to get us to the next level, get to the future. And it's a lot, but it's not much, but it makes every tiny gift double what it would have been. Talk to us about it.
Well, it's just so significant, and it's amazing to me how that gets people motivated and encouraged, and it gets them to give where maybe they wouldn't have given before.
Right.
But it's because of what we do is why I get excited when people give, because we see life change.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily that we're doing all this great stuff and making life change. We set the stage, and we present opportunity, and we encourage people to take steps. But God comes in and does the work after that.
Exactly.
And that's what has to happen. But giving, you know, Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he turned it into a 5,000 dinner for mm-hmm. 5,000 plus.
Yeah.
So we're asking people $40,000, you know, match it. It'll have the effect of the loaves and fishes.
Mm-hmm. So every dollar is two, every $100 is 200. Just call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and match this $40,000 matching gift. It's a double reward, double blessing back to you.
And I'll remind you before we go to a call after the break, we have counselors all over this country, about 900 or over 900, who are on the New Life Network. Now, these are folks who we've waded through, and they've filled out and signed up through all of the registration stuff, and we believe them to be very good counselors who are very good Christians. Every now and then somebody will slip through, and we very quickly eliminate them when we find out that that isn't so. If you need a counselor, this is the place to call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need a dentist, you call 1-800-DENTIST. You know about all that. That's painful. This is not as painful as calling 1-800-DENTIST. This is 1-800-NEW-LIFE for a life, truly, that is new, where you can live fully human, fully alive in the blessed life that God wants for all of us, with purpose and mission and meaning, versus just rocking along there. That's what we want for you. If you want that, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovic, Dr. Dave Stoop, and your phone calls. Let's go to Jones from Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I love your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. It's been helping me a lot. I have a question or a problem.
Okay. What can we do for you?
The question is this. How can I effectively deal with my wife that is having an affair? I discovered this 6 months ago.
You discovered the affair 6 months ago?
Yes.
What was her reaction when you confronted her about it?
She was very apologetic about it, but I've discovered she's not. Before, when I confronted that, she was through the cell phone and the email that I find all those information. Now all those went into hiding. She started using a phone card to call this guy and started office phone to call this guy.
Okay, so
it's ongoing then.
Did you ask her to do anything once you found out she had the affair? Did you require anything of her?
I said she should send him email, which she did. But I find out that email was a hoax. It was a fake.
Okay. But you didn't tell her to go get some help, or you guys get involved in marriage counseling or anything like that?
I did ask her call your new life counseling session, and they give us a counselor, which we are seeing right now.
Okay.
The counselor said she should cut it out too, and she did put me on the phone and left a message for this guy, but I find out later they're still going on.
Okay. I'm so sorry for what you're going through. How could we help you? What?
So the question is this: how can I effectively deal with my wife? She's willing to do anything I ask her to do.
Well, apparently not.
To go to the counselor with me. She's going to the counselor actually with me right now. But the question is, it's not. I still believe she's having this. She's continuing this affair behind the scenes.
Right. So she's not willing to do everything that you want her to do.
Right. Or she does it on a superficial way, and then
it's not genuine.
Yes.
Does the counselor, Jones, does the counselor know that this is still, that you believe it's still ongoing?
Well, I told her.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't, we're going to be meeting her next week.
Oh, okay. Because that's something that, if you can deal with that with the counselor, that's going to be helpful. But a part of what you've got to do is realize when somebody's caught in an affair, they're really they think differently. Their mind kind of goes crazy, and they don't They don't deal very well with reality because they're living in a fantasy world. And somehow you've got to bring her back to reality in the sense that, you know, if you're not willing to do what's necessary to rebuild our marriage and rebuild our my trust in you, then we're done. And because there's nothing more I can do with that. You have to make a choice. So if you want to continue a relationship with him, then you need to move out. And that sounds tough. That's hard to do, but it's a tough love that gets somebody in the position that she's in, where she's living in this fantasy world, to start to look at the fact that I can't have both people. You know, that's where she's living.
Yeah, what has prevented you from doing that up until now? Why haven't you made that demand?
Actually, I've done it for about 3 days. You know, I did move out, and she started looking for me. She started begging me. Unfortunately, I have kids in the house, so they were all asking for me, so I moved back in. But that was the eye-opener. She really wanted to stay with me because she said 30 years and affair, over a five-year affair, she can lose that.
Do you have children? Jones, do you have children? How many?
Yes. We have four children.
Four children. How old are they?
They are from 23 to 13.
Okay. You know, you don't sound very angry to me, Jones.
I don't know how I can be angry than this. I don't know.
This is what Dave is saying. You know, you're not going to be able. You say, "What do I do with my wife who's having an affair and hiding it?" You don't sound like it's really bothering you. It's bothering you, but you don't sound angry. A person who does not have any anger inside does not know how to set boundaries, and they don't have the ability to make something stick. Maybe your wife. Isn't really seen. Maybe she sees you as somebody she can take advantage of. You see,
I think so. I believe what you just said.
And so that tells me that probably you, growing up as a little child, learned to make your anger go away to make a parent happy. Is that what happened?
I think so. Yes.
Okay. So then that means that you say, "How can I help?" One of the things you have to work on are your tendencies to be a pleaser. And to work on developing some anger so that you're willing to set a boundary with her and then yourself suffer the consequence of the separation that it creates. A lot of pleasers will set a boundary, but then they get so scared inside, they end up then pursuing the other person because they don't like being alone themselves. And maybe what you have to do is you have to get a little bit more angry and you have to give her, as Steve and Dave said, some ultimatums that really make her think, either me or the other guy.
Okay, good. I got it.
I think you need some support from some other men.
Yep.
Well, and I think you also need the support of the counselor, so that, you know, you may say it, but then when you get in that counseling room, you need to really say it with some firmness.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. What would be a good resource?
But other men too.
Let's send him How We Love, and I think he'll find both himself and her in that book. I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Diane's been holding from Pensacola, Florida, listening on WEGS. Hello, Diane. Welcome to New Life.
Yes. My problem, our family problem, involves a grown son and daughter who hasn't spoken for about 2 years.
What happened?
They haven't spoken to each other, or
the daughter was having problems in her marriage relationship.
Yeah,
and moved out because her husband was abusive and different things going
okay.
on.
Okay, all right.
I don't know, things hiding things on the internet and this and that.
Yeah,
and so there was, you know, and she was devastated. I mean, she thought she was in this marriage forever, and Well, actually, the son's wife did kind of say to her, you come stay with us for a while. And she did go and visit them for a while, that maybe she could find a job or whatever. Well, then she did look on their computer, but she did a lot of housework and stuff, just trying to stay busy, 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 I guess, to not think about what was going on in her life. And then they would make comments like, well, have you found anything on the Internet? Well, you're not even looking. You're not even trying. Or at least I think more of my son would say that to her. And then, you know, and then maybe she would chime in, yeah, she's been, you know, she sleeping some in the day. And then she was like, they wouldn't listen, that she was having trouble sleeping, you know, at night. And she'd be up on the computer at night. And maybe they saw her on the computer doing her devotionals anyway, she has a daily devotional.
Now, what is your son's complaint against her?
Okay, well, what happened, and there was this dispute between them. Well, she went to stay with them. Then she didn't find the job, and they were like, oh, you're not really hardly trying. Then she left and went back to where she had lived before and started staying with friends. And they thought, well, if you're scared of your husband and you're, you know, afraid of him, why are you going? And they were moving out from... They were going to be moving like 800 miles away. And the wife wanted her to go live with them. Really, she's the one that invited more than my son.
Okay.
My son didn't.
All right, so what is... What's
about it.
What's the
and
big problem?
Like, no, I'm going to go back and stay where I was at. And they're like, why do you want to go back there and stay with friends? You could stay with family. But she thinks they were just wanting her to go and... take care of the house while they worked,
now,
do all the laundry.
Okay, here we go.
And they weren't caring about
what?
Her trying to find a job.
Listen to
she
me.
She went back to where she was from and actually found a job.
Listen to me. Hey, hold on a second.
Okay.
Answer this real specific question.
Uh-huh.
What is your son's complaint against your daughter? Real specific. He is angry.
Ten words.
He is angry at her.
They let her borrow their car because hers was conking out, and to drive back.
And what happened to the car?
And she didn't bring it back for them to move away the 800 miles.
Okay.
She thought they wanted it back. Thought they wanted it back the 1st of August.
So what's
but they
the?
They had to be out there the 1st of August.
So what's
they
the?
They told her it had to be back the 1st of July.
So
and then
all right, hold on
get
just a second.
Hold of her.
Got it.
So
Diane.
All right.
Started a new
hold
job
on there, Diane.
That vehicle to
Diane.
Get a job.
Now, Diane.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a question for us?
My question is, what can we do about getting the son, the grown son and daughter to connect and have some forgiveness? Because she's hurt that he seemed to not be compassionate, that she wasn't.
Well, we've got a
job.
You know, fortunately, we've got a specialist in forgiveness right here, Dr. Dave Stoop, who has written Forgiving the Unforgivable, in case you forgot, Dave. So what would you say to her? In answer to the question of how do I get these kids back together, if there is anything she
well,
could do.
You'd give them each a copy of the book, Forgiving the Unforgivable.
Yeah.
But that's about all you can do. You know,
I agree.
I mean, as a parent, you can chide them a bit and say, come on, you know, this is family, and you need to deal with it directly and resolve it. But there's not a whole lot you can do. She's not appreciative of what they've done. They don't understand what she's going through, and that they need to slow it down and listen to each other is the main thing. And maybe if you had them in the same room with you and you just forced them to talk to each other and stay in the room until they talked it through, that would be maybe the best thing you could do, but it doesn't sound like you can do that right now.
Right. All right. I'm glad you called. We'll send you two books, the Forgiving the Unforgivable, for them. I hope that will help right now. We're going to go to Rebecca from Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD. Hello, Rebecca.
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Thanks so much. And to you and Mylon and Dave and all of your awesome team, we really appreciate you so much down here.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks for including us, Rebecca.
I'm going to ask you a question first, okay?
Wow.
I know that's a novel idea, but
very good.
Let me go for it.
Okay.
We have a 26-year-old grandson who lives in another state. He was 5 years in the Navy. We believe, we have strong reasons to believe that where he is living now and was living before he's where he's living now, that he is in a cultish-type church.
Mm-hmm.
Our question for you is, as a family, can we do, should we do anything in this situation because it is very troubling, or is there nothing that can be done?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now I'll answer your question.
Okay.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, how far away is he? Does he live from you?
He's in Washington State.
Okay.
And prior to last October, he was in El Cajon, California at this same church, and they moved him.
They moved him.
Do wow. they? Is he able to get mail, or do they go through his mail?
We're not sure whether they go through it or not. Anything I send to him, I always mark personal on the envelope, but he never responds to the mail. He mm-hmm. will respond to a telephone call or a text message sometimes.
Rebecca, before we go to the break, how chaotic was his childhood with his mom and dad? How agitating, chaotic was it?
His father was an alcoholic. When this young man was 8 years old, the father walked out on the family and left. This child I'm talking about is a middle child.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. We'll get to the rest when we get back from this break. You're listening to New Life Live.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. Well, we're talking with Rebecca. Her grandson, 26 years old, is in Colton. Milan was asking about the chaotic childhood he must have been in, and sure enough, he was raised by an alcoholic father. Milan, you want to follow up on that?
Well, Rebecca, the relevance of that question is simply that, you know, when a child is grown in a chaotic home, and what happens is they'll tend to go in two directions. They'll either go into a chaotic orientation themselves as an adult, or they'll go into a highly rigid construct when they enter into adulthood. And the military and cults are more of a rigid formality of following something that creates a structure in which I can rest because it feels safe. Mm-hmm. So I would just try to maintain contact with him and develop an adult relationship with him where you win his confidence. And eventually, I would try to help him understand that what he's seeking in both the military and in this cult is the authoritarian. He's almost trying to replace mom and dad. Mm-hmm. He's trying especially to create a structure, especially dad. Dave, what would you say about that?
Yeah, I agree. And I think the best thing you can do is just what Marlon was saying to you, is to build that relationship with him. And I'm thinking, you know, Seattle is a nice place to visit in the summertime, and you might want to take a trip and say, hey, we'd love to come to your church with you. And just kind of.
We intend to do that at some point.
Yeah. And
the other thing, I just want to interject this before we go on because it might be helpful to you, but he worked for years when he was entering high school on being completely physically fit because he went in for the SEALs.
Wow.
So that's, you know, he didn't get in there because his swimming wasn't strong enough.
Hmm.
But he stayed in the Navy 5 years. And then, of course, this church, this series of church, sister churches, and you might be familiar with them, they always locate near military bases.
Hmm.
What church seems to be fearful of or has a great anxiety about is that he's going to lose his salvation if he is in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What church is it that you're talking about?
Excuse me?
What church is it that
What's
you're talking
about?
What's
the name
of it? It's in El Cajon, it was called the House of Prayer Christian Church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Up here in Tacoma, it's, I don't know if they go, they're hard to find on the internet. I mean, they're just almost impossible to find.
Yeah.
We've done an awful lot of research. Mm-hmm. I think it's called a little something different. It's in Lakewood, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And but anyway, he's fearful of losing his salvation. Now, I'll tell you one thing these churches do. This kid has, and he was raised as a believer when he was at home, because his mother is a very godly woman.
You're going to tell me he has an amazing understanding of
yes,
Scripture.
Yes, yes. Yes, he does. And boy, he can argue you down on any issue, because they've taken, you know, portions of Scripture, and they have moved it in a way that it satisfies their agenda.
Yeah.
Build a relationship with
them. Yeah, don't argue Scripture with them. Just build a friendship.
And I'm going to send, you two books.
We do that. We love him, and we don't talk about this stuff anymore. His mom used to grieve so much, she would say, you know, please, you know. And I say, honey, don't even go down that road, because he has to get defensive when you do that. So let's love him.
So here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to send you two books. One is Toxic Faith.
Okay.
That'll help you understand exactly how all this works, and how he got in there and how he gets out. And More Jesus, Less Religion, which is the positive side of the faith. And I hope that those are going to be helpful to you. But here again, just to recap, it's the relationship with him that is the only hope of him.
A stable, consistent relationship.
Right. Because he's not stupid. And a lot of times, over time, the doubts start to come, cracks in the facade occur, and then they're ready
already,
to listen.
It's already doing that if he's questioning whether he's saved or not.
Yeah.
That means something's happening that's shaking the foundation.
Yeah. Well,
and this also speaks to us as parents, how we could create the setup for our kids to wander into something like that when they're adults themselves.
Yeah. Well, like being an alcoholic parent might set you up.
Yeah, it just might.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, glad you called. Let's go over here to Anna, who's calling us from Los Angeles, listening on KKLA. Hello there.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Good. I'm good. Okay, I'm calling because, let me give you a little background. We have a child who's 20 years old, and she had another child. She had her own child with a 17-year-old.
Your 20-year-old had a child with a 17-year-old a year ago.
Yes.
Okay.
And he, as we all come from dysfunctional backgrounds, the person she's involved with has come from a very dysfunctional background. The mother's an alcoholic. The father has been in and out.
Whereas your daughter has come from more of a normal background.
Well, somewhat. I mean, our background, my own background is dysfunctional myself, but I gave a vow that when I got married and we had raised the children, that I was going to give it 110% to have a somewhat normal God-raising family and a normal family. And then, lo and behold, my second child is Down syndrome.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So what's the question for us in a situation like this?
Well, the question is that of course, my husband was very upset because she all of a sudden said that she had a boyfriend, and 1/4 of July, and then she said that she wasn't seeing him, and then she said she wanted to move out and live with my parents, and then the next thing we knew, she was pregnant.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll hear this after this break. We'll be back right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
All right, we're back with Anna. Her 20-year-old got pregnant from a 17-year-old. Anna, what's the question for us? How can we help you in this situation?
Well, the question is that I really want to embrace this child because the Bible says to love and to forgive.
Right.
And that is what I want to do.
Good.
And so I know that you guys talk a lot about boundaries, and you have the book on boundaries and whatnot. And the thing is that I've really asked my husband to embrace this child, but my husband really does not want to do that. And I feel that perhaps I'm overstepping my boundary by asking my husband, I'm not constantly nagging him, but from time to time I'll ask him, well, why don't we have him over for dinner, or why don't we take them
right
someplace?
Good idea.
Like, because
really good idea.
This person is
mm-hmm
forever in our life now,
yeah,
because of my grandchild. So I wanted to know whether or not I'm overstepping my boundaries.
No, you're not. It's my thought. Hey, I would encourage you to just keep encouraging him, saying, come on, this is, you got to deal with reality. I know how hurt you are, and how, I mean, when a daughter does that, I don't have daughters, but I've got granddaughters, and I know that if my granddaughter happened, my granddaughter, it'd be devastating to me as a grandfather. But I would have to work it through to where I say, you know, this is my grandchild, and I would give both messages to your husband. Say, I know how hurt and disappointed you are.
Yeah.
Because it's not the way we wanted it to be.
Right.
But we've got to deal with the reality that this is our grandchild, and I need you by me. And don't stop. Just stay, you know, keep the pressure on him in a loving way, recognizing the hurt and disappointment that he's got.
Could I ask you another question?
Hold on. Let us finish with this one first, and then you can ask
okay
us another one. Because I just wanted to say
okay
that, how old's your husband?
He's
40.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I would just say to him, honey, like Dave said, I know this stuff and all. But this little baby really needs a 40-year-old more than he needs a 17-year-old or 18-year-old. Yeah. And we need to be the solid, strong, consistent force in this baby's life, because our daughter and this boy, who knows where they're going to, you know, they're young. They're in, they're out, they're up, they're down. Let's be the consistent force. But Dave, you had a question about that?
Anna, how old were you when your daughter was born? And how old was your husband when your daughter was born? He's forgotten
ironically,
that.
You happened to ask that question.
Yeah, I mean, you said he's 40 and your daughter's 20, so, I mean, you guys had to be 20 when your daughter was born. So
I was 25, actually.
You were 25 and he was 20. So the women in your family like younger men. You need to
I guess so.
You need to remind him of his roots there and say, come
good
on.
Good point, Dave. All right.
The other thing I would do, Anna, as you recover from that reality check, I would take the time to develop and cultivate a relationship with your granddaughter yourself and let him come along at his own pace. I wouldn't hammer him every day. I think periodically you need to remind him of this is our responsibility.
Once a week.
But I would say, if you're not ready to have a relationship with her, I'm going to have a relationship with her, and maybe at a later time you'll feel comfortable doing that. Because the two of you are adults, and this is just an opinion on my part, that you could have your own relationship with your granddaughter, and your husband does not have to be necessarily a part of that equation right now.
Okay, I like that. And then I'm going to send two copies of How We Love Our Kids, one for grandmother, one for daughter.
Yeah.
Dave, any thoughts?
Is the baby born?
Yes, the baby's 1 year old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that part. So
that's okay.
I would think that seeing that little girl would rip his heart open.
However, see, you have a developed right brain which has empathy in it. There are people who grow up in this world where empathy is driven out very early on, and they don't have high levels of empathy.
All they got is a left brain.
That's correct. And so they don't have the capacity to look upon a little child and have their heart ripped out. They really don't.
Now, don't forget some of the most valuable stuff we do. It's in the workshop. You just find a way to get there, do whatever it takes. Life will never be the same. Every man's battle. On May the 3rd, it's going to be in Orange County. And then on June the 7th, we're coming kind of the heartland there in Cincinnati. Restore for any woman whose heart's been broken from sexual integrity problem from a man. And our New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom, is May 3rd in Orange County. And we would love for you to come to that. I think it's going to be such a powerful event. Finding Freedom. We're going to also do Every Man's Battle in Orange County right there, same weekend. But Finding Freedom, if you're depressed, anxious, if you're struggling with conflict, those kinds of things, we're going to help you. Eating problem, you name it, Finding Freedom, it happens there at that New Life Weekend. And then our Intimacy in Marriage is June the 28th. Let us help you. And how about you help us if you can? If you do, we'll send you one of the most beautiful devotionals we've ever had, 100 Days of Peace, our gift to you. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
All right, let's go to Bob from Alva, Oklahoma. KREJ is the station. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
How can we
That's
help?
That's my claim. My wife is, I don't know what her diagnosis is, but she has mental illness, and we've been married 5 years. We're in our late 40s.
Okay.
She's, during her sad period, which I've nursed her through these last 5 years, she becomes delusional, and I like to think that I'm part of the family now because I've heard these same stories throughout the whole family, how they're all drug addicts, they all beat on her, you know, all these stories. Mm. And this particular year, she's turned on me, and of course everybody's been wonderful to me, the pastor, everybody's been wonderful.
That's good.
And supportive. So she had me arrested on New Year's Eve.
Why?
Of course, she said that she chased me around the front of our house where there was a trailer hitch, and she tripped over it. And a couple of days later, she filed a abuse thing, which the police wanted to file against her for filing a false report, understanding her condition, because they've been out there three times earlier. And,
I see.
And so they understand her condition.
Right. Okay.
The family understands her condition. They've all been through it. They were all supportive, and they're supportive now.
Okay.
My question is, she's filed for divorce. It's been less than 90 days. Our divorce becomes final next week.
Wow.
And everybody's aware of her condition.
Now, the caller, the screener said something to me about goats. What does that have to do with this?
Well, the evening, I was giving her an example. The evening that she said that she was, in fact, her report was, I beat her, strangled her, kicked her, and threw her up against the wall. That was the whole report, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What does that have to do with goats?
Well, I was out at the goat pen when that particular evening, breaking the ice up on the stock tank, and she flips her phone open and dials her son and starts screaming, "You're killing them! You're killing them!" Indicating to her son that I was beating our defenseless,
all right,
beautiful little goat.
Okay, how could we help you then? What's the question for us?
I don't know what direction to take. She never allowed me to become her advocate. She's in total denial that she has any kind of mental illness. She has been to a counselor.
How long have you been married to her?
5 years.
And before the 5 years, you saw none of this?
Yes, I did.
You did, but you thought it'd work out or something?
Yeah, well, I never thought that I would be the person that she found, you know, in her delusional state to be. It's like she's being tormented by these ideas that she's created in her mind. Last year, year for 3 days, she sat on the threshold.
Bob, after the break, after the break, I want to know what superhero outfit is under your street clothes, okay?
Yeah.
I want to know, is it like Green Lantern, Superman, you know, who is under there?
Mm.
You see, who do you have to be that you would marry this person?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know who your superhero outfit is underneath your street clothes when we come back.
And with that insight, then maybe we can help you with the dilemma. We'll take a break. We'll come back for the final segment of New Life Live right after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. L-I-F-E.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
Okay, talking with Bob, and 5 years ago married a woman with some severe mental problems, and now she's turned on him, divorced him, and Mylan's asked, you know, what is it inside that made you believe that you could really help this person, or that it would be okay to marry this person? Have you thought about that, Bob?
Yes, during the break. I'm a talented, compassionate smart person, and she's seen this in me, and at the time we met, you know, I was very lonely and I was drinking often, and she brought me into sobriety, and she brought me closer to God, and we had a wonderful relationship. We were until recently just the best of friends, and so that brought out into me, you know, a lot of self-esteem. But you know, I found her to be like my person that you know made me feel good, that my image, you know,
you said the role we had was so wonderful. Even you opened the show with, Bob, how are you? I'm wonderful. And I'm wondering if your idealism isn't really getting in your way here. You see, you entered in to the relationship with this lady, and it was amazing to you because you were the rescuer and she was the victim that needed rescuing, and it gave you purpose. And yet she was very wounded, and one day that wounding turned back on you and you're mm-hmm. surprised. It doesn't surprise us that one day she would wear out of the idealism and she would then turn on you. That doesn't surprise us.
I would assume that it wouldn't surprise
So what should he do?
Well,
what do you think he ought to do?
I think she has declared the action, and I would not try to fight it. She says, I'm done, I'm leaving you. And I think I would just simply let her go, and I would view myself as fortunate that I've escaped as perhaps unscathed as you has been. Mm-hmm. You have been. I think she's a very unhealthy person, and Dave has a comment about that.
It's an untreated condition, and she's not about to treat it, and so nothing's going to change, and you've got to recognize that, Bob. There are some things that, you know, we as counselors, I would look at somebody like her, and I would say, I'm not equipped to help her. There are other counselors mm-hmm. who specialize in that type of issues. I'm not, because there's nothing I would know how to do. Now, if I'm as a licensed counselor who's got 35 years experience, don't know what to do, you've got to come to that place where you have to say, there's nothing I can do. I cannot help this lady.
Did you hear that, Bob? That Dave's saying, with all his experience, this isn't a situation he feels like he could really help if she's not going to get treatment for it.
I recognize that.
Okay.
Okay. So then you walk away, and as Mylan said, be glad that you escaped, because I mean, mental illness is a tough thing to deal with. if you're in the family. But when you're being kicked out of the family and become the outsider, as far as she's concerned, you know, you probably want to stay in touch with the rest of the family. But boy, it's hopeless.
Don't you think he could also use that as a bargaining chip? Say, okay, we're divorced, but if you ever want me back, I might be open to the idea if I saw you making great strides toward dealing with your schizophrenia or whatever it is, the diagnosis.
This is something that I've considered. I've considered letting this divorce go through and becoming her friend under the obligation that that she acquire psychiatric help.
Yeah, I wouldn't be.
But I'd be very careful about it, Bob, because, you know, there's a limited capacity to understand, and there's also a limited capacity to follow through if she were to get the help. And you know, staying with the program would be a big, tough one. And if the family doesn't know how to do it, you know, I don't know how you're going to help her. But, I would say, hey, I'm here. If you ever need me, I'm still here. I care about you. But, you know, I understand where you're coming from, and I accept that.
And there's a danger in him being in a two of a codependent role with her, being too quick to, again, rescue, divorce or not.
Exactly.
He needs to stay away.
And I just want to say this, that there may be something that you don't know that you don't know. Okay?
Yes.
That down deep inside, there is still this force within you that says, once we're divorced, then I'll finally be able to help her. And what we're saying is, we don't think that's likely. Okay, now here's the real thing that you may not know. When you walk away, if you do, down inside, there is this thing, this force that's saying, I'll be able to fix the next one.
You got to deal with that.
And so you'll find somebody that's not as sick as her, and you'll think, this is going to be better.
That's a great insight, Steve.
But it's not going to be better. So use this as an invitation for you to deal with your codependency and go to some CODA groups and Celebrate Recovery, Life Recovery Group. Do some things that might benefit you so you don't end up in this same situation again. Boy, that's a tragic situation.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. But, you know, his loneliness and his own alcoholism, you know, was, you know, very much a factor he needs to deal with very strongly, because that's what pulled him into the relationship with this person.
Well, as a matter of fact, when he was sick with his alcoholism, it's probably the healthiest she might have been, because she
took care of him.
Take care of him. She was a caretaker.
A project.
Yes.
And sometimes the project can distract you from, you know, the other stuff. And then
well put.
Now what do I do? Well, as we close out this wonderful Flashback Friday program, I want to have Larry just remind everybody we've got a matching gift. You could help us right now. You could do it. Larry, tell everybody.
Well,
please.
Your gift will be doubled up to $40,000. And I've got to say thank you. There were three folks that stepped forward to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Can't thank them enough. I can't thank those of you that have responded, but we still have a ways to go.
Yeah.
So if you could make a gift, you know, $5 turns into 10, 50, 100, 5,000 to 10,000. We've had one or two of those. So whatever works for you, we're not asking for the amount other than we've got to get to 40,000. We're asking you as an individual to measure your heart and your spirit, your cheerfulness, to make a gift and know that that gift is going towards people experiencing things they would not experience had they not intersected their lives with what we do at New Life.
Everybody that's ever supported us, you're responsible. You're the foundation of so many marriages being saved, so many people having sexual integrity. It's really just astounding for all of us, Larry, myself, and the others on the staff, to get to watch all of this happen.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's been because of you, and we want you to be part of the future of New Life, and you can do it now. Whatever you have is going to be doubled. It'll be matched. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you. We care about you. We want to help you. And we appreciate it when you help us help others. If you need something, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
New Life and the website newlife.com. My thanks to Dave and Mylon and all of you that support us. Thank you. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.